Not sure what he meant about being a very long-winded speaker. Hopefully I'll be able to fill up the time that I've been given. Good evening. Tonight I'm going to be talking about priorities, and I feel like tonight I'll probably be speaking a lot to myself because I know that many of my priorities are out of order, and getting them in order is something that I have to work on. And so at first I was kind of wanting to steer away from the subject because I was like, well, how can I speak on priorities and things when mine aren't in order? But the Lord has a way of making it clear what he wants us to do sometimes, and that's what way it was this time. It was pretty clear that this is what he made me speak on. So tonight I basically have three subtopics that I'm going to try and tie together. The first will focus completely on priorities. The second, we're going to look at laying bricks, and I'll discuss what I mean by that in a little bit. And lastly, we'll look at running well. So, if we made a list of our priorities, what should that look like? I think a lot of us would agree that it would probably read something like this: the things of God, family, others, maybe work, and then, maybe play, and you can kind of fill in whatever you would put after that. Me, I know that my priority list looks a lot like more like this most of the time. I got girlfriend, family, eating, sleeping, play, then I throw God in, and then I got work at the bottom. And so I don't know what your list will look like, but that's what mine looks like a lot, like really often. And so I think it's safe to say that God falls way too low on our priority list a lot of the time. If he's not on the top, if he's not first in our priority list, then he's too low on the list. But it's easy for us to look around in the world, at unbelievers, and we can say, well, at least I have God on my priority list. That guy over there doesn't even have God on his priority list. At least God's on my priority list. But not only should we have God at the top of our priority list, God should be the one making our priority list. We as believers, we have Christ inside of us, and if we listen to him, he will set our priorities straight, and he will be on the top of our priority list. And so, Jesus came to change our priorities. I've heard that up at, we went to that wildfire weekend up in Lynchburg, and I heard a speaker up there. He said, Jesus came to change our priorities. We were lost in darkness and sin, and we made our own priorities. Our priority list looked like, serve self, then we'd sin. Then we'd serve self some more, we'd sin some more, we'd wander around in darkness. That was basically what we did. Christ came to change that. Christ came to rescue us out of darkness. He came to change that lifestyle. He came to make us new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He came to give us a new set of priorities. Instead of love yourself, he said, love the Lord your God. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Instead of serve self, Christ said, wash one another's feet. John 13:14 says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And instead of walking in darkness, Christ said to walk in the light. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, he is in the light, and we have fellowship with him and with one another, and the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So Christ came to change the way we think. He came to change the way we live, and he came to change our priorities. Our priorities are extremely important, and because of our old nature, they are something that we have to constantly be working on. If we let ourselves get slack, they will quickly become out of order. And it is important that we have our priorities in order, because what comes first on our priority list is what we will give the majority of our attention to. If our priority is given to work, then we will find ourselves working all the time. And we'll find ourselves skipping out on family time. We'll find ourselves not showing up connected church, we'll find ourselves missing our daily devotions in the morning. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 12. And we'll look at verse 14. Second Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14 says, "And he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord." This is talking about King Rehoboam. It's talking about these verses I'm about to go through are talking about the evil kings of Israel. It says, "And he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord." Now flip over a couple chapters to chapter 20. Chapter 20, in verse 33. "Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not directed their hearts to God, to the God of their fathers." So we see that Israel did not give God top priority, and they did evil, and did not take away the high places. But if God is our top priority, then we will find the things of God, and we won't find ourselves skimping on, you know, family time. We won't find ourselves missing church, and we'll even find time to work. If you're still, we're still in 2 Chronicles, so flip over to chapter 19. Second Chronicles 19, I'll read verse 3. "Nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God." So we see that in this verse, Israel has given God their top, has made God their top priority, and good things were found in them. And it's just amazing how things seem to work out so much better when we keep God first in our lives. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 23. First Samuel chapter 23, and we're going to start with verse 1. First Samuel 23:1. "Then they told David, saying, 'Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floors.' Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go and attack these Philistines?' And the Lord said to David, 'Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah.' But David's men said to him, 'Look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?' Then David inquired of the Lord once again, and the Lord answered him and said, 'Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand.' And David and his men went to Keilah and found the Philistines and struck them with a mighty blow and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah." So David sees these Philistines, and they're attacking Keilah. And what's the first thing he does? He asks God what to do. He says, "God, what do I do now?" And so God was his top priority. And so God delivered him, the Philistines, into his hand and gave him the victory. Now flip over to 1 Chronicles. We'll see a kind of a flip side of that. We'll see what happens when you don't ask God first. 1 Chronicles chapter 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 10. And we'll read verse 13. Verses 13 and 14. "So Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. But he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore the Lord killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse." So here we see Saul, who doesn't have God as his top priority. He goes to a witch for advice. And what happened to him? he and his three sons were killed. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, if we don't have God as our top priority, that we're all going to die. But I can guarantee you that if we have God as our top priority, things are going to turn out a whole lot better for us. We have to give top priority in our lives. I heard it said, I can't remember who said it, but I heard it said, show me a dusty Bible and I will show you a backsliding Christian. Giving God priority is essential to our Christian walk. God needs to be the center of our attention, the focus of our lives. We don't need to let other things get in the way. Me and Dad and Mr. Cecil and Mr. Jamie and Jacob over here went to the Wildfire Weekend up at Lynchburg, is the men's retreat up there, at Liberty University. And one of the speakers up there was Rick Rigsby. He was really good. And one of the things he talked about up there was having an empty closet and a tattered Bible. And the closet represented our life, and the Bible. And the illustration was this. We need to let go of all the junk we accumulate. We need to stop stockpiling and filling our closets. We need to stop filling our lives with the things that we set before God. We need to read our Bible. We need to put God first in our lives and let go of the other things that clutter our closets. Our priorities are vital to our spiritual growth. If God isn't our top priority, then we won't give enough attention to our spiritual lives. Our priorities are vital to our everyday lives, and if we find our everyday priorities out of place, there's a good chance that our spiritual priorities are out of place. It's important that we give priority to the important things in our lives, spiritual being first and foremost. If we neglect these things, we can end up with a mess. Living our lives is like laying a brick wall. I was talking to Justin Wallace, I was telling him that I was getting to speak Wednesday, and that I was talking to him about what I might speak about. And he was, as some of you might know, he's up at Mountaintop doing an Eagle Project. And part of his Eagle Project involves laying bricks. And so we were talking about, and he said, he kind of joking with me, he said, well, you should speak on laying bricks. And so it got me thinking, and as we live our daily lives, the Bible says we're constructing a building. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. verse 9, and we'll go through verse 13. 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So, we see that we're building a building on the foundation of Christ. Now, as an illustration, I'm going to use the concept of laying bricks. And the bricks are different areas of our lives. You know, you got your work life, you got your home life, you got your spiritual life. Those are the bricks. And whether they're good or bad, and the mortar is whatever we rely on to hold our bricks together. Now, we all know Christ or God holds our lives in the palm of his hand, and he has complete control. But what I'm talking about is, what do we rely on to hold our bricks together? And what kind of bricks are we trying to use? Are we using good bricks, or are we trying to make our broken bricks fit? Are we trying to stick in that one brick that we know it's broken, it doesn't really want to fit, but we don't want to let it go because it's a bad brick and we know it, but we just want to hold on and we just want to squeeze it in there and we don't want to let that one go. But it's important that we only put in good bricks, and it's important that we use the right mortar. The stuff that holds it all together, and for the believer, Christ should be our mortar. He's the one that we should rely on to hold our lives together. But sometimes we try and add our own mortar to the mixture. We try and add in sand and dirt because that's all we can add in. We really don't have anything else to add. We try to add in sand and dirt, stuff like we try to use money, self-esteem, popularity, our careers. But when mortar has too much dirt and sand in it, it won't hold. It just crumbles. And so we can't add anything to Christ when he won't mix with our dirt and sand. Nor will he hold our bad bricks. And so when we try to add our bad brick in, Christ isn't going to hold that. So we try to fabricate things. We try to make it fit. So we have our bad bricks over here, and so Christ won't hold on to it. So we try to make our own mortar and hold that together. And so then we have our good bricks, and Christ will hold those. But it's just we just end up with a big crumbling mess. And so it's not going to stand. And so it reminded me of the parable of the wise man who built his house on the rock. In Matthew, turn to Matthew 7:24. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat on the house, and it fell, and it was a great fall. So we have our wise man who built on the rock, and the foolish man who built on the sand. But a lot of time, we as believers, we try to kind of cheat, and we try to build a little bit on the rock, and we build a little bit on the rock and a little bit on the sand. We try to get a little bit of half and half instead of obeying God and just trusting solely on the rock. And so what happens is we end up with a pile of rubble because our whole construction just sunk in the sand. And so we know when we're fabricating, don't we? We'll see, you know, we're trying to build it, and God comes along and he says, hey, David, your bricks look a little dangerous there. You might want to let me fix that for you. But a lot of times what we'll say is, nah, I got it. I can fix it myself, and I'll just keep adding my mortar to it, and we'll get this problem fixed up. And we just make it worse. And we see an example of this with King David. If we turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Verses 2 through 5. And I think we all know this story pretty well. 2 Samuel chapter 11, start at verse 2. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him. And he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived. So she sent and told David and said, "I am with child." So we have David here, has gotten himself in quite a mess. And because he had his priorities out of order in the first place, we see that he is actually in bed when he's supposed to be out fighting. So then he gets out of his bed and takes a little rooftop walk. And the next thing we know, he's out committing adultery. But instead of asking, so now he's gotten himself in a mess. And instead of asking God for help, what does he do? Well, we'll drop down to verse 14 and we'll see. Verse 14, "In the morning it happened that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah, and wrote in the letter saying, 'Set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retreat from him, that he may be struck down and die.' So it was while Joab besieged the city that he assigned Uriah to a place where he knew there were valiant men. And the men of the city came out and fought with Joab, and some of the people of the servants of David fell, and Uriah the Hittite died also. So now we see that to solve his problem, David kills Uriah, and he took his situation and went from bad to worse because he wouldn't ask God for help. And so when we don't ask God for help, we tend to make things worse than they already were. But thankfully, God stops his children before our crumbling structure gets too high. Sometimes he will knock it down to prevent it from getting too high. He doesn't want our structure to fall on us because, you know, it was too high and it just fell down. So sometimes he will go ahead and just knock it down for us before it comes too dangerous. If we want to have a sturdy building, we have to use the right ingredients. We have to use good brick with good mortar. We can't mix and match. We have to give priority to laying our bricks right. We have to give priority to using good material. And we will use good material. We will get, if we have God as our top priority, all those things will kind of fall in place. So we need to give God complete priority. And when we do that, it will affect the way we lay our bricks. But you know, when we get to that point, a lot of times we'll get to that point where we see some of our priorities are out of order and that the structure has a few bad bricks in it. And we'll say, well, you know, I see it, but I don't really feel God leading me to do anything about it just yet. I mean, I don't really feel anything. So I'll just wait till I feel a little conviction and then I'll take care of the problem. Or sometimes we might say, well, you know, I see it, but I tell you what, I'll wait till Monday. And I'll start the week new, and I'll take care of it then. But we have to do it now. We can't wait for some inspiration to come hit us. A lot of times when we see something wrong, it's because God opened our eyes to it in the first place. And so I was listening to, in English in school, I was listening to a poet that we had to do for a class. And he was talking about, you know, his experiences writing poetry and all. And I really don't know how I heard this because I honestly wasn't paying attention at all. But, yeah, and so he's talking about when he started writing poetry, and he said, you know, when you write poetry to start, you have to sit down and write words on paper. You can't wait for that, you know, inspiration that everybody, you know, that we seem to think poets have, you know, oh, a poem in my head. I'll just start writing. But we have to just sit down and start thinking and start putting words down on paper. And so he said, you just have to make yourself sit down and do it. And that's the way it is with our Christian life. We just have to do it. We can't wait for God to just, I mean, he's told us already. We can't wait for God to call out of heaven and be like, hey, Matthew, you have a problem. You need to fix it. Or we can't wait for him to call out of him and be like, hey, Jonathan, you know, that outreach over there, I want you to go help out with that. You know, God's already given us what we need to know what to do. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 18. Yeah, my friends give me all sorts of grief. You know, they pick on me, tell me all sorts of things are going to happen when I get up here, so I get them back a little bit when I get up here. Second Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, and we'll read through verse 4. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, the king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, and broke into pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For in those days the children of Israel burnt incense to it and called it Nehushtan. So we see Hezekiah removes all the high places from Israel. And we, if we look back, we see that a lot of the kings is something that they had, a lot of the kings in the past had failed to do. They had just left, they had done a lot of things right, but they had left the high places. And so he removes them, And we find plenty of places in the Bible where God had told Israel in the past, you need to get rid of the high places. You need to destroy the high places. But we don't read right here that God spoke to Hezekiah. You know, we don't hear that Hezekiah had some revelation that, or that God came down and said, Hezekiah, I want you to remove the high places. So if God, I mean, how did he know to remove them? Well, he had God's word where he looked back and say, well, God says to remove the high places, that we shouldn't have high places. So he removed them. And we have the word of God, and we have the completed word of God. And it tells us everything we need to know. We just have to do it. We have to give it our priority. And, you know, we're laying bricks, and God has given us a blueprint, so we need to use it. You want to lay your bricks right? Read your Bible. It's God's building plan for our lives. And if we use that plan, we will build well. And we will also run well. We are laying bricks, and we are running a race. And to succeed, we have to make it our priority to do well. Galatians 5:7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? And that's what we want to hear. Ye ran well. And that's what we have to do. We have to run. But, I mean, we can run, but if we want to win, running's not going to cut it. We got to run right. We got to focus. I was thinking of an example. When me and Morgan were little, we used to go over to Ray Bullen's house. And he had a PlayStation. Now, me and Morgan didn't know what a PlayStation was. So we were like, ooh, PlayStation. So Mr. Ray would let us play on this PlayStation, and he had a NASCAR racing game. And so me and Morgan would play the game. You know, you could pick your car and you race around the track. And so we always lost. We finally got to where we could actually stay on the track. We didn't just crash into the wall all the time. But for some reason, we always ended up getting lapped like 5 times. We couldn't catch up to anybody. And so we'd say, Mr. Ray, can you come help us with this? We can't win. So Mr. Ray would get the controller and he'd show us how to race the right way. You can't just drive in a circle to get to win. He say you gotta stay on the inside, you gotta stay low in the curves, you gotta accelerate just the right times, you know. And so you can't just drive in a circle if you want to win. So you know he'd get us all the way back to first place, and then we go, ooh, can we play now? And we get it, and we'd be all the way back where we started. But you know that's the way it is. You know, we're running, we can't just run around the outside of the track and expect to win. If we want to run and we want to win, we want to finish well. We have to run right, and we have to be consistent, and we have to always focus on. We have to focus on each individual step. And if we want to win this race, we have to run it well, and we have to let God have full control. Just like when Mr. Ray would take over, and he would come back, he'd get us where we needed to be, and then you know. But if we try to take back over, we'd be all the way back where we started. We'd mess up again. And you know, you see those bumper stickers going down the road. You know, God is my co-pilot. Well, God should be our pilot. We don't need him in the passenger seat. We need him driving. And I saw a sticker the other day. It kind of made me laugh. Somebody was driving down the road, and it said, my dog is my co-pilot. And I was kind of looked at that. I'm like, well, you're dead. But, you know, that's the way we are. We like to take control, and we like to do it ourselves. And sometimes we just kind of like throw God out of the picture because we know if we mess up, he's going to be there to correct us. Sometimes we just don't want to be corrected, so we just kind of like to push him out. And, you know, we'd have our dog over there or something. So, you know, we need to let God have control if we're going to run this race well. And so, you know, our goal shouldn't be just to finish. Our goal should be to finish well. And so, and to do that, we have to give God priority in our life. He has to be the one in control. And we have to follow his instructions for laying our bricks. We have to get our priorities in order. And when we do it, it will affect the way we run and how we build. Thank you.